Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show, January 16th already, 2011. Well, this month is slipping by pretty quick. Every month is slipping by quick. So we'll continue on with our UFO panel, which was a really good one. And then we got some really cool educational stuff to go on with. So let's roll it some more. Let's see what we got here. I'm waiting to hear something come out of this thing. Maybe the UFO panel finished. I know we were cutting it pretty close, so I'll fast forward it because I want to make sure that get all the way down to the end there. Some of these tapes. I hate to miss good information. This was a really good UFO panel, better than some of the other ones that we've had. Nope, nothing there, so I'll fast-forward it again. It was a great show the other night, on Thursday night, at BBS Radio. We had a lot of callers, a lot of action. So now I'm going to turn this over and see if there was a backside to it. Some of these recording companies do both sides. Was one and two, and some of them just do one side. They just wasted tapes in those days, you know. I'm waiting here to see if Dr. Bell's coming up. Otherwise, we got a really good one ready to roll. I love this educational night. It's always education for me. I don't think there's anything on it. I guess that was the UFO panel. Yep, nothing there. No sound bars. Okay, then we will consider that one finished. It's only about a minute on it anyway. And we will now start with this really nice seminar. And see how that one works. That should be nice and loud and clear and everything.
A couple of people have already been at one of the intensives. So, you know, a little bit what it's about. But especially this one here, Fred has announced a lot of new things he will be talking about too. Some of his new inventions and integrations for the systems, as well as also an update on his contacts with the Andromedans and a little bit more about that. So, by the way, I'm Kralko Bell, his wife, for those of you who don't know me.
We also had a seminar the other night with the Andromedans. January 4th. Look it up on YouTube.
And
you'll see some of the ships, the ship that was over our house here.
Twice or three times a year. I think this is the 13th or 7th or 8th, I don't even know, seminar. And this is actually the third time that we do an intensive seminar here at the Chrysalis Center. And we do it here. We used to do it in a lot of hotels, too. And we do it here now because we find in a private environment and where we can actually serve the foods we want to serve, which will be all vegetarian gourmet meals. And Kathleen in a minute will tell you all about that, too. That is a much better environment than the hotel environment. So that's why we're doing it here. And I want to welcome you all, and I think we will have a great, great weekend, the 2 days. And I just want to describe real quickly what we do the first day and what we will do the second day. And that's just a loose kind of a guideline because Fred might do it all different. Again, because what it's all about, too, is to he speaks out of the moment and whatever he has prepared for this seminar, which I don't even know. So I will give you just the structure of it. The first day today, he will definitely speak about the body, the minerals, the vitamins, the nutritional aspect, how you can become your own energy doctor, and what it is you want to know in order to find out what can I do, what should I personally eat, what kind of supplements does my body need, and what kind of supplements does your body need, because we're all different, so our diet will be always individual. And so the best thing really to know what you should put in your body is to know the basic things about your body, how the body works, how the hormones work, and the different vitamins and minerals and what they do. And then when you go to the health food store or wherever you go to buy these things, you will know what to buy, because there's just a vast, you know, choice of a lot of different things. So he will speak about that. Then the introduction of the pyramid energy and what it does to the body. Why do we work so much with the octahedron, the four-sided pyramid, and not with the tetrahedron, the three-sided pyramid, and how the four-sided pyramid relates to the body. And of course, he will speak also about the Pleiadians and the Andromedans today. And for those of you who are very interested in that too, it's kind of woven in everything he speaks about. So it's not just a whole section by itself. So just, you know, listen up when those parts come in. And we will go, when Fred starts, about an hour and a half to 2 hours. And then we will have actually, let's see, he will start at about 10:30, 11:30, 12:30. He might go on straight till lunch, two and a half hours. If he goes on for an hour and a half, then we will have a short break. And outside we have teas and water and all of that. And I want to recommend to all of you, there's water in here too, drink a lot of fluids, drink a lot of water, drink a lot of the teas, because the food is a kind of food we'll reserve, which will you know, do a lot of processing in some of your organisms and bodies, so that you can really release a lot of toxins this weekend. So make sure you drink a lot, and also for assimilating all the things we're talking about this weekend, it's very, very important to drink a lot of water, so don't forget that. Then later on, we will go on till 4 or 5 o'clock, whatever it says, I think 4 or 5 today. And then there's a break where you can just refresh yourself, shower, go and have dinner. We will give you some choices of restaurants where we think they're really, really good. We have plenty in Laguna Beach, and they're all very nice. And then at 8 o'clock, we will meet up at 891 Santa Ana Street, which is our home. And that's where we have one of the pyramid systems, and it has been set up and activated for a long time, many years, so it's a very powerful energy place, and that's where we will have the laser light show tonight, and also an introduction of the Firestar Orb system. In one of the rooms is my personal Firestar Orb system set up, and so you can go in and take a look and see what that system is all about. And there will be a crystal showing, crystal quartz showing too. There's a lot of a collection of quartz, which we always use in the systems, also at 891 Santa Ana Street, which you can look at and view. So that will take place from 8 to 9, and around 9 o'clock the laser show will start. It's about 55 minutes, so by around 10 o'clock we'll be done with that, and we'll chat and this and that. So just get ready for probably 10:30, 11 o'clock tonight. And that's why we only start at 11 tomorrow, but actually we will start at 10 o'clock. For those of you who want to come in with any kinds of questions, what I, Lucille, can answer, you're welcome to come in at 10 o'clock, and then at 11 the program itself will start. Tomorrow we will then get into the systems technology. Fred will already start a little bit with that today probably, and you all have in your folder that little booklet. It's a systems technology booklet. It's just really small and has some diagrams in there to just browse through it today and later on tonight when before you go to sleep, because tomorrow we'll get more into the systems technology. And then we will also actually do a program at the very end of the seminar. We will show you how you can program the systems and what that feels like. So we will do that at the very end of the seminar, and then we will close probably around 5 or 6 or so. So I hope all of you have planned and all that time to be here. And also, we have the little headgear pyramids there right behind you. And I will bring shortly more of them which are not packaged. and then you can all wear them and try them throughout the seminar and see what it feels like. There's different ones. I just would like to introduce them real quick. There's the Pyridome, which is the pyramid. It's a 24-karat gold-plated one. Base metal is steel, and it's just very relaxing. If you're a little tense, you have a little bit of a stress or a headache, if you wear that particular pyramid, then it will release the stress. That's the Pyridome. Then there's the Ray Dome. Actually, we don't have that one here. We do have the Power Dome Silver here. Power Dome Silver, the basic metal is titanium, which helps really to release a lot of toxins in your body when you wear that frame, the titanium frame. The silver one also intensifies that, the detoxification, even more so. And also the silver one is really, really good for concentration, regain of memory, all those things. So for absorbing a lot of the information you will hear, that the mental part of it, I would recommend the silver dome, the power dome, to try that one and to wear. Then the gold power dome is a 24-karat gold layer on the outside again, also titanium basic metal, and that one again is more, a little bit more soothing, a little bit more relaxing. It's great to wear for any kind of creative work or creative intake compared to the silver power dome. Then there's the fire dome, and that one is an organ layer of copper, silver, and gold. All of them are organ layers, by the way. And that one is really great to wear. It gives you a lot of physical energy. And so that one is really good too if you feel like a little tired in here, or you don't get enough air or something, and you feel like, oh, I'm a little sleepy, and you don't want to be. So wear the fire dome or the power dome. They are really, really good for that. And now, in your folder, there is the menu. So please look at the menu so you can see what kinds of foods will be served today. And then also there's a little bit of a guideline here for the house. And it's really simple, actually. And you already know there's no shoes in this room, so just leave them outside. And then because we don't wear shoes, we're tempted to just walk out and get a tea and walk back in, and then we have dirty feet anyway. So try not to do that. And there are socks in that basket. If you want to put those socks on when you come in, you're welcome to, and don't walk out with those socks, or just put your shoes or slippers on and try not to walk out there and then come back in. Also, you can drink water here, but we will be serving, for instance, a spirulina, this wonderful green drink. So we have to drink it outside, because if it spills on this carpet, it will be there forever. So no drinks except water in this room, no food. So we will take all of that when we eat and everything outdoors. There is a restroom right here, right behind the library. And there's a restroom out there where you see that little shower head and that one towel hanging there. Right behind there, there's also a restroom. So there's two restrooms available for all of us. And let me see. I'm going to grab Kathleen so she can tell you real quickly about the menu.
I've met most of you. For those of you who've not been here before, welcome to the Chrysalis House. I'm Kathleen. I'll be your hostess and chef this weekend. Hope you enjoy yourselves. And take a few minutes to read the letter that we've enclosed in your packets today that give you some of the logistics and things that help us to give you a nice workshop and to keep everything running evenly and smoothly. There are several bathrooms. There's three on the main floor for the workshop during the day. Just enjoy yourselves. The biggest thing that we ask is if you can please refrain from going outside in your socks and then coming back in them. And just have fun or get out.
Did you tell them about the food?
No, I'm not telling them anything.
Oh, you expect me to rise. Okay, so now that's about it. Oh, yeah.
what I'd like to do is, before we start, it's really, really nice if we get to know each other, and we will anyway, but if you don't mind, to just to introduce yourself real quickly, just stand up with your name, and maybe what you do and why you're here, and I'll just give an example. So I'm Frock, and I'm here because I love it, and I've done this work now for the past 7 years. Go ahead.
Is that what you... My name is Nathaniel, and I'm here because I want to raise my consciousness and raise my vibration.
My name is Irene. I'm here. I want to bring the system and
her name is Urania Pleiades Yaomi.
Right.
She wants me to speak to her.
Yes.
Okay.
My name is Alfred Essen, and my company recently translated a book written by Sixto Paz, which is a contactee in Peru. There lies my interest.
Great. Jackie.
Here because I want to be here.
Oh, great. Yes, she's here because she wants to be here. Wonderful. We'll continue on.
Hi, I'm Steve. I was at Dr. Bell's lecture, and I thought it was very interesting, so I'm here.
Hi,
my
name is Steve, and this is my second time in this seminar. And obviously, he's my favorite.
I'm Bob. Very curious and eager to learn.
I'm Alan. I'm just learning some more.
Good. I like that we can learn from each other too, because there's some people they already know a lot.
Daniel. Benny.
Candy. I'm
Candy.
Candy,
I'm yeah. Sorry.
I'm here to learn as well.
Bill.
I'm Bill William, and I'm here to expand my awareness and consciousness and just meet other people.
Yeah, and Bill is part of our team here too. So. He has done all the beautiful name tags and all of that. Daniel.
Yeah, I'm Dan, and I heard about the seminar from Brian, who was here a year ago.
I'm Brian, and I'm here to learn more about the technology.
My name is Althea, and I really like what Chris has to say as far as information that he delivers, and sounds like a lot of fun.
And my name is Masayuki, and I'm here for the first time, and I'm here to learn about the system and
yeah, and if I may add, Mr. Yuki is here because we have distributors in Japan, a whole group of people that would like Fred to come over and do a workshop there. And Fred doesn't speak Japanese, but Mr. Yuki doesn't. He will be the translator, so interpreter.
I'm Susan. I'm very interested in hearing your
conversation. Dan.
Yes, my name is Jan, and I'm here because the energy led me here, and so do my man.
And I'm Christoph, and Kathleen and I are your hosts today, so if you need anything, talk to myself or Kathleen.
Well, and I'd like to introduce Lucille, and I think all of you know Lucille because you've all talked to her over the phone, probably. And, yeah. And then down there on the floor we have a beautiful girl. Hi. That's Lucille's daughter. Jessica. She knows all about this too. Okay. So then we're ready to start.
No, we don't have a slide projector.
And I will get another one.
Yeah, when did you discover this anyway?
Just now.
Did you change the bulb in it? Because you have to wiggle the bulb around. If you change it, you probably broke the socket.
No, it didn't work before and it's not working now. So, all right, I'll take this.
Well, you can get it right away?
Yeah.
All right. You're not great with the tools too, aren't you? No, it's one of those days when everything breaks. Last night my violet laser broke, and I was going to run that tonight. Where's my pyramid? Where? I'm not punching that pyramid this early in the morning.
Now, let me have a power silver dome. Right behind you. Yeah. That's the one for the concentration.
How many of you, all of you have been to my lectures, right? Pretty much. All of you remember this, when I showed it about a year ago, a year and a half ago?
Yeah.
Okay, it's here now. I told you it was coming, so it's here. And,
you bring a grapefruit juice back here?
Thanks. So what's happening is that all these things that some of you have probably seen in my lectures and that, the Andromedans came in 1989, okay, and I began to work with them. Divide in consciousness in the world. And if you listen, those of you that listen, how many of you have heard my tape series in here? Any of you at all? Okay. Those of you that listen to the tape series probably remember. And Franca, leave the slides here.
Oh, I was just going to.
No, don't take the slides. Okay, you'll lose them. Okay, thank you. So anyway, there was a great split that was coming. And if you remember in 1991 when I started my tape series, we talked about the government losing of constitutional freedoms. I talked to you about Iraq. Told you that they were going to give the threat or the vision or of nuclear terrorism, and that the American public would be gradually losing their constitutional freedoms. Today, basically, you really don't have any constitutional freedoms. They're pretty much lost. Give me a glass of water until you get the grapefruit juice, would you? Thanks. And it's kind of sad that nobody's really understood what's going on. And if you look at, how many of you guys watch C-SPAN, watch the House and watch the Senate? They're just floundering. If you watch our government in action, it's just floundering. I was watching the television last week, and it was relating to this terrorism stuff. And the thing is, the spirituality that needs to be in the House and the Senate and our government is gone. Basically, it started dying after Washington and the first regime left this planet. And so as a result, this nation is not guided anymore. Secondly, I don't have my slide to demonstrate it, but in the evolution of time, our sun and our moon and the earth are rotating around the Pleiades. And this takes place every 25,827.5 years. In that period of time, this revolution around the Pleiades, we have 2,500-year cycles that occur. And you've got to realize that our solar system is moving through space, and we're not just sitting here in one spot. And you also have to realize that your bodies are dynamic, and you're made up of oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon. And these change frequency every day. The hydrogen atom, for example, brings in seven levels of consciousness. Okay, you have the egoic plane, the etheric plane, the Vedantic plane, intuitive plane, the astral plane, the physical plane. Each one of these planes has on the substance of your vitality, of you. When you were first moved down from the oversoul, you were appropriated five seed atoms. And these five seed atoms will go with you as long as your consciousness maintains individuality through successive lifetimes, over and over and over and over again. And these five seed atoms vibrate and tell the DNA in each incarnation how to behave. And they bring with you different genetic characteristics and different lessons to be learned through the genetics of the DNA through each lifetime, which also goes with a spiritual lesson. So this change has a sensitivity, and as we rotate our whole solar system around our central sun, which is Alcyone in the Pleiades,
this sensitivity changes. It's like day and night. We come through 12,000 years of darkness, where the soul's kind of groping its way through the light, or finding the light. And then we come into the actual period when you have no choice but to be purified by the light. That's what we're coming into now. In these 2,500-year cycles that we have, what happens is we have a different level, our integrity of soul, entering into the incarnation of this world, Earth. Okay. The last 2,000 years, the integrity of the soul that incarnated here was that of a believer, one who believed, not a knower. Okay. A believer is one who believes in God, believes in themselves, and believes in life, but doesn't know a damn thing about it. So as a result of that, it's true, as a result of that, they structured great religions, great spires, huge churches, monoliths, you know, Stonehenge, all these different things are structured to support some sort of belief system, and have been done so appropriately for the last 2,000 years. Now we come in to another motion, and that is as we rotate around this Pleiades, as this clock moves around, this gear that the Earth is hooked to moves through the Swiss watch, it suddenly meshes with another gear. And when it meshes with another gear, at a certain point, this gear is saying this is no longer a mechanical operation, now it's a light operation, it's a spiritual operation. And so as a result of that, the soul is a higher caliber as it starts to incarnate on this planet. It's more of an enlightened soul. And so we have the incarnation of the knowers rather than the believers. The knowers don't need a Bible to find God. They don't need an environmental impact report to realize the environment is screwed up. They just know what's going on. The knowers have been free from the terrestrial incarnating cycle for a long period of time. When you're not free, as the believers are not free, the believers are younger souls, and they're not free, their soul progress between lifetimes is impacted within the domain of the solar system, and primarily the Earth and the Moon's orbit, meaning that the astral plane is centralized in the core of this Earth, and it's finalized somewhere out beyond the periphery of the Moon. And anything in between the core of the Earth and the circumference of the Moon, or the, where it goes around the Earth, its diameter, is known as the astral plane. It's the domain of the astral plane. And it's also called a ring pass knot by the Tibetans. Okay. Now, I use a lot of Tibetan terms, and I refer to them a lot, because the Brahman science is a spin-off of the Pleiadian science. The Pleiadians come here periodically, every so many thousands of years, and they teach through the teachings of what are known as the Rishis. They've taught the Brahmins the holy science. And then that science then filters down through our entire society as we know it today. A lot of it also was filtered into the Orient, into China and Japan, through the teachings of the Shinto, which is much older even than some of the Tibetan stuff that goes on in the Himalayas. And the Americans over here where we are, we're more of a free-roaming individual nomad, of European origin several thousand years ago, and they were visited from time to time by the Pleiadians, whereas certain monasteries in China and Tibet have been not nomads at all and have been there literally for millennium after millennium after millennium. As we move through this path around the Pleiades, the frequency changes of the human soul and the human brain through its DNA. And when this frequency shift begins to occur, we are at the same time approaching a point in space that is being called by New Age philosophers the photon belt. It is really not a belt of photons that are whipping around. It is an energy field that coincides with the changes that are going on inside the human brain and the human psyche and the human DNA. When we approach this space, we have certain teachers that come here to get us ready for what its ramifications are going to be. First came many races, humanoid, like the Pleiadians, and they've been coming here for the last 20, 30 years. And they taught us a science, a marriage, a communication between what has happened in our own ancestry and what is happening in the present, and how the ancestry and the present and the future are all colliding in one moment. The Andromedans, on the other hand, come here with another form of teaching. The Pleiadians can only teach for a certain length of time because the humans have what is called an auric stench. We're going to be talking a lot about auras in the seminar. But the human has an auric stench which is caused the human to have a shortening of its longevity, meaning a human should live about 10 times longer than they do. But because of the conditions that the human has placed on this planet, it's made it unconditional for the support of a healthy aura field. So the Pleiadians, rather than give up their long lifespan of 1,000 years, come here in short visits. You know, it's like they're turning the barrel, you might say. They do what they can do and then they leave. And they also do not do things like divine intervention, because they've had wars as recently as 25,000 years ago in their own worlds, and they still have conflicts among themselves even now. So for that reason, they don't want to amplify it and poison their own aura fields and bring that back to Era and the different places where the different Pleiadians come from. The Andromedans, when they come, and which have now come, they came here, started coming here in the late 80s, are a different form of teacher. The Andromedans live 5,000 years versus the Pleiadians 1,000 years. The Andromedans have the ability, after living 5,000 years, to within 5 minutes completely rejuvenate and rebirth themselves and start off for another 5,000 years. They have a tremendous attention span and a certain amount of patience with humanity. The Andromedans, because of their power, have reached a certain level of consciousness that they're a little closer to the face of God than the Pleiadians, and a hell of a lot closer to the face of God than humans. So from this standpoint, when humans, with their auric stench, start extending their auric stench into the planetary frequencies and the aura field of the Earth, and when this further in turn poisons the solar system, and then this poisoned solar system comes roaring around into the photon belt in its aspect of the Pleiades, things can't be left alone anymore. Things have to be adjusted. Whether the humans, in their ignorance and their follies, like these changes, it doesn't really matter in the Andromedans. They come and they make the changes. And that's what they've done. They've started making major changes on this planet. When you start studying the Andromedan science, we're not teaching that currently yet because I barely have a grasp of it myself. One thing that you begin to learn about is eternity and infinity. I termed in one of my songs, I think it was the Fellowship or Atlantis Rising, I forget which one it was. I came up with a term called etherfinity, which I thought was kind of interesting. But when you start to realize that this universe that we live in has always been, there is a science theory, and now it's changing, they call it the Big Bang, where suddenly everything exploded into existence. And they go through it step by step, and basically what the Big Bang theory is an expression of the Logos from the Logoic plane, the plane of one, coming down through the ethnic plane, down through the Medanic and all the other planes, and arriving on the physical plane in an expression of breath. And this breath is a breathing cycle that the Tibetans call the Brahmic periods. And they have four different periods of Brahmic periods called kalpas that they talk about in one day of Brahm. And this is exploding, this time of existence, which is called Manavantara, to the time of non-existence, which is called Pralaya, is constantly vibrating. We're going from absolute existence into infinity and eternity within twice, three times within a second, if you can imagine that. It happens very fast. And you're not aware of it, because the moment that it's happening is when we're all unified, and when The moment it's not happening, we're here in the physical plane. And the only way you can start to get in touch with it is to start to realize what a hologram is. And that's what the science of Andromeda is all about, is the hologram of life, the hologram of the universe. And as we rotate around the Pleiades, this hologram begins to have larger moments of rest and larger moments of action. And to the individual that's busy dealing with the moment of action, time appears to become shorter. Time becomes smaller and smaller, and things happen quick. Suddenly it's Christmas, and then it's summer, and it's spring, and it's Easter, and it's Father's Day. And how many of you notice the time is speeding up? Okay? This is what happens. From the other side of the coin, the side of the coin that I've seen many times, in the terrestrial time clock, as it speeds up, because frequency, vibration, as it approaches light frequencies, has to speed up. Radiation in its slow state is sound, in its high speed state is visible light and radiation beyond. Because this has to take place, what happens is you begin to move in between the seconds more and more and more. And a master, for example, a Tibetan master, studying different things, for example, invisibility, has learned how to go in that moment, that eternal moment, and move around, and then come back out in the moment on the physical plane and appear again. Christ demonstrated that at the well in Samaria after he stopped the Christians from stoning some girl for prostitution. And they were to stone him instead, you know. And where he told him that one who has no sins cast the first stone, it's in the Bible. He demonstrated that power on the spot right there when he disappeared from the crowd. Guess I got a little frenzied. So you begin to see even different masters through the times hooking into these powers. Now, when you have this vibratory frequency starting to occur as it is now, you also have the other side of the coin, and that's the dark side. Okay? When the vibration starts to happen, little energy fields that are normally blocked away in your thoughts and in your dreams, and always reside there, and you can only reach them, and they can only reach you in your dream state, begin to change. How many of you saw Robert Eglin's movies? He's our neighbor down here in Laguna. Friday the 13th, The Nightmare on Elm Street. Okay? Freddy, good example of an astral vampire. A very splendid example. As soon as the individual that had the power went to sleep, the entity escaped from the astral plane down to the physical plane and caused a lot of problems. Okay? We're going to talk about sleep in this seminar, but realize this, that astral plane and those entities that are on the other side are no longer on the other side. They're here now. And when they come here now, they take forms. They are taking forms, good and evil. A lot more of that is going to be apparent. Secondly, when you realize that we have these seven planes of consciousness, okay, and we realize that the astral plane is starting to fuse itself down into the physical plane, then we start to look at some other phenomenon that occurs. And that phenomenon is the mental plane. The mental plane begins to collide in the astral plane. And as a result of that, three planes begin to merge into one. This causes a lot of interesting things on the physical plane. One, the mental plane has the lower plane, which is called the rupa. And secondly, the mental plane has the higher plane called the arupa. The rupa, or the lower mental plane, is a logical place where your thoughts come from. It's very logical. The arupa is a illogical place where spontaneity comes from. And so what happens is, when the mental plane collides with the physical plane, logic starts to go away on the physical plane as action, and illogical actions start to come up rather rapidly and almost instantly and totally non-predictable. Okay? Now, as a result of that, the world is where it is today. And that's why when you pick up the newspaper or turn the radio on, something bizarre is happening every minute now. Whereas before, it wasn't so bizarre. And it's not that we have a tighter net of communication because of satellites. It's because things are going faster. For example, some of the kinds of things that people will do when a collision occurs, all right? And you've got to realize that because of this rotation of us with respect to the Pleiades, this is becoming a tremendous pressure on the human psyche, on the human mind, on the human consciousness. One example of that would be people that realize, the people, the anti-government people, people that are freedom fighters, for example. My great-great-grandfather was Ethan Allen. He was the one that actually did the first revolution. He fired the shots that were heard around the world. As a matter of fact, the guy that actually pulled the trigger was Colonel Parker. And the reason that Colonel Parker did that was because, if you remember back in 1776, Washington was camped out at Valley Forge, and the British, there was no war going on, and the British soldiers are walking around laughing at the American aristocratic soldiers that promoted themselves to generals in a league that was against King George and Ethan Allen. But nobody would fight each other. It was just static. Everybody was sitting around growling. So Ethan Allen gave a speech, and he says, if we're going to have a war, goddammit, somebody's going to die. And so with that, Colonel Parker went out with 50 regulars on the Lexington-Concord Bridge in cold blood, killed a whole bunch of British troops. That started the war. Pissed them off real good. Then he went up with 8 troops to General Beauregard and captured Fort Ticonderoga. And then he sent a messenger down to George Washington saying, you better get moving because there's a war on now. And that's how our war started. It's real interesting because Colonel Parker's great-great-grandson was Wes Parker. And he was the first baseman who won the World Series for the Dodgers in 1972. He and I were business partners in a business several years ago with Dr. Donsbach. And we used to sit around talking about our grandfathers. They were a real interesting bunch. But the reason I'm talking about this is that's the old militia. Now we have the new militia. And when you get the power of the new militia that we have now, and you get the spontaneity of the mental plane, and you take the government cover-up, the big government cover-up that nobody can quite put in the public's view, can nobody quite put their eyes or hands on, what is the government covering up? But everybody's paranoid about something. Then you end up in a situation where somebody like Timothy McVeigh, on a spur of a moment, decides to take a bunch of fertilizer and blow up a federal building. You have a point where a militia, which is only 10,000 strong, will suddenly decide in a flickering of a minute to go ahead and attack the federal government, which has 1 million troops, even though there is no chance of success. This is what we're coming into now, the era of spiritual revolution. At the same time, oh, by the way, the missing thing in that government paranoia cover-up that you see these people on the extreme right and extreme left looking for something, the missing thing that's blinding everybody on both sides, that the cover-up of the government is extraterrestrial, the extraterrestrial picture. When that comes out, then you'll see the missing link fall in place. Then you'll see how the constitutional rights are being guided by negative ETs. Then you'll see how these viruses like the Ebola that are coming out of the wings were created in Langley. You'll see how all these things fit into place when that picture comes out. And that picture is coming out. So, with those things in mind, it becomes time to do something about your own personal lives. And that's the only thing you can really do, to get an understanding and draw a space, find yourself a space away from the freeway of this conflict, of a war that's about to happen. And there is sanctity in the picture, but there's also, you have to be aware, alert, and really know what's going on, or you'll get caught or swept away in it. Very much so. I've been involved in two major skirmishes in the big picture now. I was involved in McMartin preschool trial, which is a worldwide thing, and the O.J. Simpson case, both. And it's very interesting to be in that power where you see the good and the evil. How many of you saw the McMartin thing on television, the thing they had on HBO? Any of you guys see that? It was on an HBO presentation recently. They had these pyramids in the courtroom. Those of you that saw it. Oh, yeah. It's in the book, too. Yeah. Because Ray Buggy, who I supported all the way through, who was not a child molester, was subject to a bunch of people over in Palos Verdes that had no basis for their foundation. There were a bunch of alcoholics with children, and they created this whole situation that he went through. When the district attorneys came to me, I refused to testify in that case because I said, I'll blow your case right out of the water. And as a matter of fact, Ray was at my seminar last week or 2 weeks ago at the Whole Life Expo. He came to the seminar. He was there. The McMartin family was devastated by the government because the government is so, there's so much anxiety. And finally, the lady that caused the whole damn problem died during the final part, when in the second trial. She died, and she was the one that caused the whole thing, making up these stories. But to show you in the McMartin trial how, you know, public, how the people in the general public skirmish and scramble. And look what's happening with O.J. now. Same thing. People are just skirmishing and scrambling. And it's the biggest joke on the planet. You know the trial's never going to, they're going to run out of jurors before the defense or the prosecution even gets finished. And I used to spend a lot of time with O.J. Simpson. He's come to the house, he's checked our systems out. And O.J. was a typical guy, typical what I would call bomb that was going to explode sooner or later. And there's other O.J.'s around. Here's a guy that had tremendous power in one side, but he was split right down the middle. He was totally split, and that split never showed. He was a master at suppression. There's a lot of masters at suppression. So you begin to see all these infernos that are going on. One of the really sad things and one of the funniest things is how they create these diseases, and then they tell us, in the case of Ebola, I told you that, I mean, I told you guys, there were people like Shackley that had the basic picture that, you know, they surfaced in the early 50s, and they began to do and spread vitamins through the multi-level chains around the country. Later on, the vitamins weren't strong enough to deal with the needs of the people. As the environment began to fall apart, as it is now, the human and the ozone layer began to be destroyed by fossil fuels. The radiation levels on this planet changed and became much more intense. So it became necessary to crank up the human aura to such a level that you can process this radiation change and your immune system can process what it has to process in order to deal with the stress of this ebbing and flowing and this crashing down of these planes into one another. So that's where we start. The human body is electrical. Well, actually, first of all, it's electrical, precursing, science of the pyramids and the receptors. Then it's electrical, and then it's biochemical. Okay? In the seminar, we want to cover all three levels simultaneously. Science has been groping around in biochemistry for so long now that they have almost lost sight of the electrical levels, and they have no idea what the precursing levels are. They would only define it as ecstasy and stress. That would be the only way that I would think science would define itself on those levels in medical science. Now, just to ask you a question, if you start to get sick, what's the first thing you want to put in your body? You can comment if you want. What's the first thing you put in your system in the form of nutrition? vitamin C. How many of you agree with that? One? No. Only one. Nobody. But,
you know, water.
Water? No. Nutrition-wise, water is always good. Yeah.
Mineral.
Yeah. Mineral. Which one? Chromium. Exactly. Why wouldn't you put vitamin C in? Why would you put chromium in first? Nobody knows.
Metabolize
the
vitamin C.
Well, no. It's direct the intelligence of the vitamin C to fight the viruses that are good or bad. I mean, viruses are just tetrahedrons. Most bacteria are octahedrons. Octahedron is also the shape of carbon atom, shape of pyramid. Tetrahedrons are three-sided, like chlorophyll. So if you don't have the intelligence in there, if you don't have the chromium in there, you know, any AIDS patient will tell you that knows anything about it. One of the big things in fighting of AIDS is taking huge amounts of chromium, because the chromium produces helper T cells, which are part of the immune system. When you have chromium in there, it directs intelligence directly into the DNA. The DNA is where it all starts. The frequency, vibration, and length and base pairs per turn of DNA determine your entire beingness, everything. It's all there, including your consciousness. So you got to work with your DNA first. Then you build your immune system next. And that's where you take vitamin A. Get the immune system up. And then you start putting in vitamin C. And now vitamin C will do something for you. You know, how many of you ever taken vitamin C when you, suddenly when you have a cold, you don't take it at all, and then you take a cold. Cold comes along, you take vitamin C, it doesn't do a damn thing. Maybe it gives you a diarrhea or something, you know. No, you got to do it right. We make an ester C that comes from beets, and that ester C won't give you diarrhea. You can drink, take a whole bottle of it on an empty stomach, and your stomach won't even know you took it because it's pH balanced. The C technology has come a long way. In our vitamins, if you go over there and look at the bottle of those vitamins, you'll see we use 40,000 units of vitamin A on a daily basis. The reason we use so much is you need to keep your immune system up and operating. It's your only salivating link to reality anymore, is the immune system, basically. If that goes, everything goes, including your sanity. So it's very important. B complex is another one that I work a lot with. And the system knows, you know, our government knows what you shouldn't be taking, you know. And when I say what you shouldn't be taking, because if you take it, your consciousness will cause you to wake up and you realize what's going on. So they don't want you to be that conscious. So the RDA and MDR, recommended daily allowance and minimum daily requirements, that come from the National Academy of Sciences, in their rationale as to what human nutrition levels are, it could be defined as just enough to avoid a near-death experience continuously. Okay? That's just about what it is. And we don't have just FDAs in this country. They're all over the place. In Europe and Germany, if you want to take the XL Plus, the Pyridine full spectrum formula, you got to go to a pharmacy, unless you know somebody, and get it by a prescription. And Japan's also fairly strict too. And a lot of countries are in formulation, because they don't want you to get too smart. You know, if they weren't strict, you'd be too smart. You'd figure them out. So they create scares. In our vitamins, for example, the B complex is very important. We use B1, B2, all the way through to B17. Now, B15 and B17 are not supposed to be in formulas. They're illegal. Okay? The reason B15 is illegal is that it fights the crusade of the dairy products, you know, to heart attack. You know about the crusade, the federal government's crusade of dairy products to heart attack? Everybody understand what that is? Anybody doesn't understand it? You don't understand it. Okay. Real simple. These are some of the ways they're trying to kill you, okay? It was defined in 1981 in Executive Intelligence Review out of Washington, D.C. as the Haig-Kissinger depopulation policy, when the political stuff was brought to light. But basically, one segment goes like this. You need calcium in your bodies. Do you know why you need calcium in your bodies when your bones aren't growing anymore? What's the biggest user of calcium in your body?
Heart.
Heart, exactly. So you need large amounts of calcium. Now, how do you get calcium into your body? There's one coenzyme that's real important. Anybody know? Vitamin D. Okay, where does vitamin D normally come from?
Sunlight.
Exactly. One square inch of the body is 18 international units. But sunlight is a little bit tainted now. I mean, it doesn't bother me, but it does bother some people because the radiation spectrum is switched on it. So, you need vitamin D. Also, you need vitamin A for your immune system, right? You need vitamin D to create calcium, to create your heart, to make it work. Now, what's the difference between a synthetic vitamin and a natural vitamin?
Life force factor.
If you have, if you were to take a synthetic vitamin C, and actually if you were to take a natural vitamin C and swallow it, right, it would put a life force, a green field, actually it's in the green energy, into the body, right? Now, if you were to follow that up with a synthetic vitamin C, what would happen? It would neutralize the natural one, okay? It would steal the aura frequencies, the color frequencies, like a giant sponge, because enzymically, it is correct. So, enzyme to enzyme, there would be a transfer of energy as it neutralized itself, and it would take the life force out of the vitamin C that was natural and absorb it in itself, and the body would get nothing, right? You get the picture? So when you go to the health food store, not the health food store, but the grocery store, like most of America does, and you buy milk, right, and dairy products, what do you see on the label? What does it say?
Fortified
with vitamins A and D, right? Now, do you think those fortifications are natural? Nope. Synthetic. So, what happens when you drink milk?
You lose your
immune system and your heart. Okay? Now do you get the picture? Okay? Now I can start taking basically every food that you buy in a store apart and find something wrong with everything that you eat. Okay? Everything. There's nothing. Nothing at all in the stores anymore. And most health food stores, same thing. So, what can you do about this? Well, you can use common sense and you can build your system up. You've got to realize that you're going to have to deal with these poisons and you're going to have to process these poisons. That's the only thing you can do. So we get into the technology of electrical precursation where things start to go wrong and we start to correct it there. Or we go into the science of nutrition, and we go into a lot of different sciences and start to correct things at the source of the problem. So one thing I would recommend is you don't buy a lot of things with things added to them, okay? Because you're going to have to get a lot of natural vitamins in your system. Trace minerals is another problem, too. There aren't any trace minerals anymore. They just don't exist. You have to take them as a supplement in order to get them in the system. What do trace minerals do? Trace minerals run the parasympathetic nervous network. What does the parasympathetic nervous network do? It is the central nervous system in the body that, when fired off by the synapses in the brain, allows the brain to interpret signals of very high frequency, extremely high frequency. Without this process going on, you cannot interpret signals of very high frequency. Meaning that you can't see the light, okay? You can't hear the word of God, the voice of God inside your own consciousness. It ain't there. That's what trace minerals do. They give us that vitality to perpetuate that. And you don't find those. You don't find them in the soil. You don't find them in the food. You don't find them anywhere. You have to take them in some form of a supplemental form now because they've been erased off this planet since the mid-30s when the Dust Bowl came here. And they didn't know about irrigation, and they did all the funny kinds of farming that they did. And then they added all the poisons in the soil, and the synthetic fertilizers in the soil, and all the other stuff that go on, you know. For example, if you go down, and you pick up a tomato, you know, tomatoes, pretty harmless, right? You know that tomatoes are laced with arsenic? Most every tomato is. Okay? So your body has to be able to separate the arsenic out. But at the same time you're eating this tomato, you've got these 60 cycle wires running around in here, right? What are the, and on top of the 60 cycle wires, you've got what are called ELF frequencies. What do ELF frequencies do? They disturb the apparatus in the body that tells the digestive process when the tomato has been ingested to throw the arsenic out and absorb the protein and the amino acids in the tomato. Separate the two. But that doesn't happen. It doesn't happen at all because of ELF. See, these are the kinds of things that go on. And these are why people get so frustrated. A strawberry. How many of you like strawberry? How many of you know what bromide is? Ever heard of bromide? What is it? Is that tell us what it is.
It's poison. It's chlorine, bromine, fluorine.
Okay.
It's very strong.
Bromide, how many of you took high school chemistry? Remember in high school chemistry when they introduced you to very poisonous substances? And they, if you remember bromine, it was a bottle, a little brown bottle, and it was so deadly that when they showed it to you, it was a little brown bottle inside of another little brown bottle. It had to be two bottles away from you, mm-hmm. just to be in the room safe.
Well, we're way out of this next week. Thank you.